Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare.
So if you want to elevate the quality of your life, then you have to change the quality of the sound vibration you're hearing. It's like you're a school teacher, so all day long you're hearing sounds. And it's to be expected that children, they're very much concerned with the body. Children are very expert, what we call sense enjoyers. Their whole world revolves around their senses. You know, I want to taste this, I want to touch this, I want to hear that. But how are the adults any different? The adults, they're also bound up by their senses. They want to taste this, they want to touch that. The kids want to play, right? You want to play, right? But the adults also want to play. It's like, your name again? Melanie, she said, oh, at least in Wellington there's something to do. That means she wants to play. And when it's time for an adult to play, what does the adult do? With the senses. The adult thinks, well, how can I stimulate my body? How can I stimulate my mind? And that's the same thing a little kid does. In fact, if you analyze the situation even more, you'll find it's the same thing that an animal does. Practically speaking, everybody knows there's not much difference between, you know, a pet animal and a little kid. They both like to play, they both like to be stroked, and they both like attention, they like to be fed. But you probably didn't think that there's not much difference between a little pet animal, a kid, and an adult. It's just that when you become an adult, you're supposed to realize you've got to work for your fun. That means you're an adult. When you're a kid, then you just have fun. But as soon as you become an adult, you got to work for your fun. And even though no one likes to work, still, it gives you a sense of accomplishment. I'm working for my fun. I'm responsible. I'm accomplishing something. How many of you would work in terms of your conventional job? How many of you would work if you didn't get paid? Would you work? You can get paid. No, I mean, not just, I mean, every, you know, 5 days a week, would you work without pay?
Yeah, I don't
know.
But I
won't
do 3 times.
What do you mean you wouldn't get 3 times? No, but still. You would work every, you would work a normal workload mm-hmm. without pay, unpaid. I could see that. You'd be able to maintain it, though, year after year. Yeah, I mean, even something like teaching kids, after a while, you start, you know, after a couple of months of, you know, being charitable and humanitarian, after a couple of months, I'm going through all this, and I'm even getting paid, taking care of somebody else's kids. What about you, Angela? Did you? No. Being a hotel receptionist, yeah. Have to pretend to, you know, be so cordial.
Have a nice day.
Probably have a few tape recorded announcements stored in you. And even our sawmiller, as much as you like to show your prowess sawing wood, still, would you do it every day just for nothing?
No.
Our painter decorator? So, people work because they want money. And what do you do with the money?
Live on it.
Yeah, I know. Now, what exactly does that mean you live on it? I know you have to the practicalities.
Practical,
you have to pay the rent, you have to put food on the table. Is that the only reason why you work, though? Yeah, that time out. You work hard so you can get some time out. Because you're not a kid anymore. A kid can just have fun. It's time for the kid to go to school. And then when they go to school, they're taught that soon you're going to finish school and you got to work for your fun. So, what is the fun that everybody is supposed to be having? Whether you're a little kid or an adult, fun means in reference to the body. How's my body feeling? That is telling you whether I'm having fun or not. So the little kids want to have fun one way, but it's involving the body. You know, just like a little baby. Everything you give a little baby, it wants to stick in its mouth. Babies are very mouth active, mouth focused. So, little kids, they use their senses, and the adults use their senses. What's the difference? Can someone tell me a difference? Sharon? Can you tell me a difference? We're mature. We work for our pleasure. But what is that pleasure? Have you ever analyzed what is that fun you're supposed to be getting? I know, but with what? How? What? Like what? Like what? Okay, riding a motorbike. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What's it do for you? You're just bouncing up and down on a motorbike. What's it going to do for you?
Well, if that's what you're doing, it's probably fun.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Just riding around your motorbike. You wouldn't do that. What would you do?
Enjoy that?
Yeah. Think about the parties and
Wellington.
Yes. Celebrating. How are the half Asian in cards?
Yes.
So you're eager to get to Wellington, she's eager to get here, right? You're going to do a trade or something. So go to the cafes, go to the movies. Now, what will that really do for you? Relaxes you. But why are you tense? Work! But you just told me that, you know, you like your work so much that you would do anything they couldn't pay you for a while. But now you tell me that you got to go to the movies and the cafes to relax from work. Well, it's all part of the work. So, and how do the cafes and movies relax you?
Enjoy the company of others.
And what does that company do for you that is enjoyable? I mean, just being around others. Appreciated. And how long will all that last? And then what? Just watch TV. And what's happening while you're going back and forth between Carson and Wellington? And be convivial and then thinking about the things we have to do and what's happening all the meanwhile, what's going on? Yeah. What else is going on? Very good. Something else is changing. Yes, true. Yeah, if you're an addicted member of the consumer society, you're paying for your fun. Not simply your emotions are changing, your body's changing, you're getting older. Yes! Getting older! Time is moving on. Don't you ever watch the old people in Cardigan? And don't you realize you're going to be like them soon? Don't you ever think like that? So then how will you feel? You know, bent over?
How I feel when I watch them, I feel...
Well, no, what you should be feeling is you'll be like them soon. Now what will you do? No more movies, cafes? How do you find something lasting to enjoy? And name something in your life that's lasting that you enjoy. Right. Hey, families break up all the time. We're not simply talking about somebody parted death. We're talking, it's quite common for families to go their separate ways. There's divorce. There's just people move the other side of the country and just lose connection. So, and you? Any lasting pleasure? I just remember song.
Well, now I suppose everything's kind of come to an end, hasn't it? I've got to dissolve and stuff.
I mean, you're not going to be, all your life you're not going to be able to work at the sawmill, right?
No, definitely not.
So then, right now you're feeling competent, another morning starting at the sawmill, you know what to do, you're expert, you've done it so many years, you know how to get that wood just right. You feel a sense of accomplishment. I'm the sawmiller of Masterton. But how long will you be able to last doing that job?
As long as you just get up and your body tells
you. And
then? You do what your body tells you, and you do as much as you can do.
And then?
You just keep getting away from
it. And then?
Well, until you just park that.
Park that.
After it's hard enough.
And then? You want those old men walking around?
Just looking at feeling sorry for.
Well, that's the future. That's your future too? Being an old lady in Wellington? No way! What else? You have something else in mind? Travel the world. Get out of Wellington. Travel the world and do what? all the people in New Zealand come here. They have some kind of sense of claustrophobia that I can't understand. Relative, yeah. Yeah. Okay, all that takes money to travel, right? That means you gotta work. And then when you travel and you get there, what will you do? Spend all the money, and then on what? Amusing, like what? What are the different amusing things over there that are not over here? Disneyland. Hard Rock Cafe. And what do they serve in the cafes that's different from the cafes here? They don't serve yummy fudge sundaes here in New Zealand, huh? So you go all the way over the world to get a yummy fudge sundae. So you're just going to the Hard Rock Cafe for a yummy fudge sundae. That's the only reason, right? And you get one of those t-shirts and sort of, I've been to the Hard Rock Cafe. So for all this, you're ready to work hard. And then you're going to spend your money on Disneyland. How many days can you spend in Disneyland? Huh? Disneyland, Hard Rock Cafe, what else? This is going to make your life. Before you're an old lady, right? You're rocking in your rocking chair.
30 years ago, I went to the Hard Rock Cafe.
Huh? What's that? Any others? Any other proposals for happiness? I'm really waiting to hear something dynamic. Has anyone heard any kind of dynamic happiness yet? Something that sounded really worthwhile, substantial, I mean, something that made you say, wow, this is really it, this is really going to stay around for a while, this is something I can really dedicate my life to. Has anyone heard anything like that yet? But you figure you're just doing the best you can, right? Just like the kids. The kids, you know, they just try to play with whatever's available, whatever toys are around. Whether it's raining or sun, they just try to figure out a way to play. So basically, you're admitting, just like a bunch of little kids. You know, they look around and see what other kids are there to play with. They try to make up some games. So basically, adults, they're like that too. You know, Friday night, weekend comes, you look for somebody to play with. Of course, you prefer the opposite sex. So, you know, who's around and... Same thing, right? So the kid is wondering, oh, when will there be a new kid to move in the house next to me so I can have someone to talk to? So you're at your reception desk at the hotel. Oh, when will a prince come riding in who will just say, hey, what are you doing? What's a nice girl like you doing at a job like this? Come with me! Right? What's the difference between that and a little kid wondering, when's a new little kid going to move on this street so I can have some fun? What's the difference? Now, what's the difference between that and a little puppy dog or a little cat? You know, dogs and cats have fun too, don't they? What do they like to do? Eat things, sleep. They like to, you know, getting affection, attention. Chase each other, yeah. So what's the difference between humans as adults, as kids, or what's the difference between them and cats and dogs? So this is the problem. This is what is spoiling our search for happiness. We don't know what happiness is. And what we think is happiness is fading. We never really get it. You ever tried it? It's like here's a fire, and there's smoke coming out. Have you ever sat around a campfire and tried to grab the smoke? Have you ever done that? Tried to grab smoke? You should try it sometime. Look at that smoke. It's so attractive. Got it. Now let me see what I have. There's nothing there. Try again grabbing the smoke. There's nothing there. By the time the night's over, you just got a sore arm, you know? So, our pursuit of material happiness is like that. We're chasing something that's not there, but we don't see that. We've got this vision that there's something out there. I see it now. Disneyland. Yes. The Hard Rock Cafe. The perfect cafe. The perfect fudge, whatever it is. I see it. The perfect motorbike. Any others? What would your hobby be? Your pursuit of happiness, please?
Chanting, driving, meditating.
So the perfect tramping spot?
Just the experience of being from the beautiful and of accomplishment and of being in a really, quite often I'm in places which feel quite spiritual and quite magical.
Spiritual? Why would you say spiritual?
Because the context is part of me that you found me.
No, I'm trying to understand. I'm listening. Emphatic listening.
The context is the part of me that is trying to be in tune with nature. And the part of me that's thinking.
But you're already in tune with nature. Just because you have a body. Are you living in this world? You're in tune with nature?
But my body is different from my spiritual self.
Oh. And what is the difference?
The difference between my body and my spiritual self.
Yes. This might have some connection with real happiness. What do you think? Maybe? Maybe? Everyone's waiting on the edge of their seat.
For my spiritual self, I'm the end of all the things and hold on to them. The sensations that of being and doing. My body takes them into the experience.
It might be that you are confusing your spiritual identity with your mind. You see, the Bhagavad Gita, the main spiritual text of India, will teach you that you have a physical covering and you have a mental covering. So the mind, that is all those emotions and memories and this and that. Like, but that's not you, that's just the covering. It's like you have this yellow sari and then you have a shirt under that. So similarly, we have the gross physical body and then under that, so to speak, we have a subtle mental body, but these things are both coverings. It's not the spirit, so. Many people get confused and they think that psychic things, they are spiritual. No, psychic things are subtle materialism. You have to know how to distinguish between the mind and psychic powers and spiritual development. It's very important. Anything spiritual has no beginning and end. Therefore, if you're really interested in pleasure, you have to try for spiritual pleasure, because everything else will fade. Your thoughts change, One day you're in a good mood, next day you're in a lousy mood. Everyone has experienced that. And as we were just discussing, your body is changing from babyhood to teenage years to young adult, middle age, old age. So there cannot be happiness amidst all that kind of change. Because you always want a situation that will be nice and it will stay nice. And you never get that. Not in this world. Just like you say you like tramping. It looks like it's a peaceful forest, but actually you're amidst a fierce struggle for existence. Forests are, there's birth and death going on all the time. Predators and things getting eaten up, things getting killed. That's what a forest is. It's constant birth and death going on. Why? What is exactly you're seeing that's beautiful? The birth and death?
The cycle, the struggle, the energy there. And I'm not, you know, it's difficult because being a part of that is just a physical and there is a body thing. But I still find it very beautiful.
But what about yourself? You're also part of that cycle of birth and death.
Mm.
But if you're spiritual, you're, as you say, then what are you doing in a cycle of birth and death? What are you doing amidst this struggling for happiness? That's actually not beautiful, that's a tragedy. But you're pure spiritual, yet you're looking for happiness in the realm of matter. That's a tragedy. Suppose you're in the desert. They have a desert to New York? A real one? No, they call it desert. No, that's not a desert. Suppose you're in the Australian outback, and you're looking for water there. You're a straight out back about sand there. Just sand there? Huh? Anyway, you're in a desert, okay, the Sahara Desert, and you're looking for water there. You're crawling on your hands and knees, about to perish, but you're looking for water. That's not beautiful, that's tragic. Why? Because you're looking in the wrong place for water. Look in the vicinity of oceans and lakes and streams if you want water. Don't go looking in the desert. Now suppose while you're struggling through the Sahara Desert, crawling on your hands and knees, water, water, water. And I come along in a helicopter and land right in front of you. Don't worry, I've got water. I'll help you. And so I have a spoon. On that spoon, one drop of water. There you are, on your hands and knees, crawling through the sand. I say, okay, stick out your tongue. And I take the spoon, and I just flick a drop of water onto your tongue. There, water! You got it! How would you feel? What did you say? Beautiful, huh? Beautiful. Huh?
Thankful
for a drop of water?
Yeah.
I flicked a drop of water on your tongue. That'll drive you nuts.
Yeah, and then once you've got pretty practical.
But that is what our pursuit of pleasure is like in this world. We just get a little tiny bit of something we think is happiness. We get so excited. Oh, I had a wonderful night last weekend. We get bought off so cheaply. Yeah, you know, last month I did such and such, it was kind of nice, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I met a really nice person, and I really had a nice conversation. Yeah. Mm. We get so much entranced just by a little drop of what we think is happiness. We don't understand that we're foolishly struggling in the wrong place, in the wrong way. So she brought out that when she's in the forest, she knows it's a great struggle of birth and death going on all around her. Creatures are dying, trees are dying, things are being born. You know, there's some insects that take birth at night, have families at night, and die before morning comes. So all this is going on in the forest. So she said, well, I know, it's just a cycle of birth and death, but I see beauty there. But actually, there's tragedy. The tragedy is that we should not be a part of this cycle of birth and death, this pursuing of, this hallucinating of pleasure where there's none. We've all discussed happiness, and no one has come up with anything that really sounds impressive. But yet we figure, well, you just go on and do the best you can, you know? That's the way it is. You gotta do something, you know? You gotta have some hope. Just like you have hope. I'll travel the world. Hard Rock Cafe. Disneyland. So everybody is hallucinating like that. They see something that's not there. And they're willing to struggle for it. And while they're struggling, they're getting old, their body's breaking down. Now, where does all this impetus to struggle, where does it come from? What you've heard. Since you were a little kid, you've always heard there's something out there called happiness, and you're going to get it. It's all coming through the ear. It's like you haven't been to Disneyland yet, right? But you've heard, right? Yes, Angela. Disneyland is where it's at. If you go to Disneyland, you do like this, you do like that. So, it's come through the ear. From the time you're a little kid, as you're growing up, you hear that there's such a thing as material pleasure. And then, you want to get older and be independent so that you can go experience this material happiness. So when you're young, you want to be older. And when you're old, you want to be younger. It's like, she's older. I want to be older. But when she was 12, she's thinking, oh, I can't wait to be 16. Then I'll be on my own. This is crazy. When you're 12, you want to be older. And when you're 30, you want to be younger. What is this madness? So we should think deeply about these things, that we actually don't know what real pleasure is. Now, how many of you would admit that? If you really don't know what pleasure is, you'd never admit that, would you? You know what pleasure is, right? Yeah. Of course. People think we are some kind of weird persons, don't know what pleasure is? I know what pleasure is. You'd say the same thing, too, right? Sure, I know what pleasure is. Sensational pleasure. When my senses are gratified, and I feel happy. But we've just said that all those things that we call pleasure won't last. So obviously we really don't know what pleasure is because we're chasing that smoke. We're grabbing that smoke. Yeah, Disneyland. On Sunday. Riding on a motorbike. Tramping in the forest, seeing the struggle of birth and death. Even if we say we really do like it, it won't last. That's the problem. So, someone who's actually a pleasure lover, they hear about pleasure that has no beginning and end. They don't fill their ears with sounds of the temporary. That's how to tell who's... Initially, that's how you can tell who is a pleasure lover and who doesn't know what they're talking about. What would you say about that? And I go on my trip around the world, I'm going to enjoy, right? But a lot, right? Whether you meet the right person who's just waiting around the bend for you. You mean to tell me, this is just an example now, we could do this with anything. No one has ever traveled before. Sure, so many people have traveled. And have you seen them when they come back? Do they really look like, Angela, I found it. I'm completely content. I got lasting pleasure. Did that what? But that won't happen to you. Right. But even those who had good experiences, so how can that be pleasure? It's good and bad. You want all good. So what kind of pleasure is this then? Chasing some real low grade stuff by your own words. You said it. Why? Who told you that? This is the hearing, you see. This is the hearing process. It's going to be like that. Just do the best you can. It's going to be good. It's going to be bad. Just take it as best you can, you know. Who told you that? This is all based on what you heard. This is the way life is. But why do you think life is like that? That there has to be good and bad? That you know about. That you know about. So you're completely temporary, huh? You say nothing lasts forever. That means everything about you is temporary, right? You agree? Everything about you is temporary. Anyone else agrees with that? Everything about you is temporary. Don't know. You? I'm sorry, what's your name? Me. Everything about you is temporary? Oh, what is it?
I feel like I know how to give the answer to you.
Now, if I was being a strict teacher like Dennis, I would say, you're not one of his classes, are you? When you say not being able to express it, that means I don't know.
That means it sounds like my mental.
It's like if Dennis asked me, what do you call those the sets of, how many katas do you know? And I said, well, I just can't kind of demonstrate them right now. It's kind of difficult to be right now expressing them. You know, then you say. Fair enough. So this is our problem. We do not know what real happiness is because we really do not know who we are. Now this is a startling thought that we don't know who we are. I mean by that, we don't know who we are because we have no understanding of our permanent identity. We're just thinking about ourselves in terms of temporary things, because that's all we've heard about. So we're floundering, looking for real happiness, which can't be found, and it's all this temporary stuff. And we think we ourselves are temporary. So the first step in spiritual enlightenment is to understand that although the body and mind are temporary, the soul is eternal. That's the first lesson given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. That although the body is always changing, the soul does not change. In fact, when this body is finished, that will not mean the end of you. You'll take another body according to your mentality at the time of death. The soul changes from one body to another, and it may not be a human body. A human body has a special advantage. It has the developed consciousness to have a discussion like we're having now. But if we waste the human body on things that the animals can get, This is the greatest tragedy. So in the next life, the laws of nature say, you don't need a human body for what you want. Here, take a crab's body. Take a bird's body. Take a dog's body. This is nature we don't know about. This is actually what nature is doing. It's putting living entities in different bodies according to their mentality. Just like you're a hotel receptionist. Nature has the perfect hotel room for everyone. According to your desire, nature gives you a certain body. Now, if you study nature, you'll see so many bodies have advantages that a human body doesn't have. I was in the Abel Tasman Park yesterday. I was watching some of the birds. They can walk, they can float, and they can fly. The ducks do that? Now, how many of you naturally can walk, float on top of the water, and fly? A bird can do that. So many animals, they have advantages far beyond what we have. But the human being has to develop consciousness to have a discussion like we're having now. What is eternal about me? Why am I trying for temporary happiness? Where does the whole system come from that I'm part of? What is real pleasure? When you start addressing these questions, then, according to the Krishna conscious standard, your human form of life has begun. Otherwise, it's wasting time. That's a great tragedy. But no one cares. No one cares. So, you're going to be an old lady soon. You're going to be an old man. She'll be an old lady. Will you be able to tramp when you're an old lady, Gene? Positive. No doubt about it. Absolutely positively. You're sure?
Mm-hmm.
No doubt, right?
Mm-hmm.
No doubt that you're going to be in perfect shape when you're 65 years old.
Yeah.
You'll be right. Okay. You'll be in shape enough to tramp when you're 60, 65. No doubt about it. Right? You know exactly what life has in store for you.
No, I don't.
You wouldn't be on the phone for
us. And even if you could at 60 or 65, then what? 70, 75, you live that long. Then? No, I'm asking you. It's your life story.
My life story.
Yeah. Let's say you make
one
it.
One of the positions that I had in life, one of my pursuits that I had.
Okay, but you're 75 years old now. Is that the average lifespan in Zealand, 75? 80? 85? 50? All right, you made it to 85. You're still traveling at 80, 85? Hi. You don't believe that, though, but she's 80, 85.
I've known 85 years, but
Okay, now you're 85. What's the future look like? More tramping? At 85.
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
After that
tramping. Huh?
Well, at the moment I'm working on understanding my spirit and my spirit to me, and that's part of my self. So I'm hoping that by 85 I'll have expanded my knowledge and the amount of time that I spend in that part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that may enable me to be able to change my life.
Maybe. There must be some match. So the whole is the whole point of your spiritual development to be able to tramp at 85?
No.
What's the point of your spiritual development?
Well,
That's part of our training here. Good question.
One of the points of my spiritual development, as well as that, I can't understand myself apart from my physical self.
Yeah, good, yeah.
And then? Okay, that's ABCs. You teach ABCs to kids? Yeah, so she's got the ABCs. She's groping for the ABCs now. You know, how do you teach little kids? You teach them rhymes. A, B, C, D. You see that one? So how do you do it? How do you do it? Okay. So, trying to understand that we are spirit, not matter. That's ABCs of spiritual life. You have to get to that. You have to get that far, otherwise life's really a tragedy. You know, you're 80, if you make it to 80 or 85 and, you know, well, I've been to Disneyland. I rock cafe. Now what? You don't even feel like doing those things anymore when you're 85. Can you imagine 85 years old walking into the Hard Rock Cafe if this thing still exists? And why does a hard... Anyway, let's get right to the point. Why does a Hard Rock Cafe exist? What goes on there? Fun. What's the fun based on? What's that? What did Sharon say? Yeah, that's all. And alcohol. Alcohol is a drug. So that's all that goes on there. That's the purpose of it. So that's the goal of your life?
Not fun.
Not fun.
You mean this?
Well, then what is?
How dare you say?
I know, I would never insinuate that, but what is? Come on, come up with something. 5 seconds. Why? Why?
I'm all gonna die.
Why? Why do we have kids for? But you don't know what you're doing. You're gonna have more kids, and you're gonna have kids, and they don't know what they're doing. Also, things just get worse. But if you don't know what you're doing, how are the kids supposed to know what they're doing? Might as well just go to the Toys R Us and get some dolls and bring them up. What's the difference? Right? They don't know. Have you seen anybody? How many people in this world have you seen who know what they're doing?
Well,
in what way? She taught you how to brush your teeth?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to go up to the Hard Rock Cafe? A real upbringing is to teach children what we're discussing now. Are you material or are you not? What is real happiness? That's real upbringing. Are you temporary or are you not? What is it about you that's eternal? What's looking for real happiness and why? You have to be able to teach your kids that. Otherwise, according to the Vedic system and the Vedic texts of ancient India, the parent, if he doesn't or she doesn't raise the kid in transcendental knowledge, the parent gets a share of the kid's bad karma in the next life. So therefore, you are instructed. Don't be a mother, don't be a father, don't be a husband, wife, teacher, unless you can rescue your dependent from the cycle of birth and death. How's that? Sounds good, huh? If you... Yes, if you cannot rescue your dependent from the cycle of birth and death, don't be a mother, father, teacher, husband, wife. Don't take any responsibility, because you will not only get your reactions, you'll get also for your dependent, because you're trying to take responsibility, but you don't know anything. It's like the ancient texts of India say that someone who becomes head of government, like your Prime Minister Shipley, if she doesn't know what she's doing, if she doesn't know how to teach her citizens how to be enlightened, she gets a sixth of all their bad karma for everyone in the land. And if she does know what she's doing, if she does know what she's doing, and she can organize a government that encourages people to become enlightened, then she gets a sixth of all their good karma. So it's very dangerous to take responsibility. You don't know what you're doing. Now everyone's thinking, yeah, this is, it sounds true what you're saying, but this is getting kind of grim. Come on, don't be a killjoy. We just want to have some fun. We thought you were going to tell us interesting stuff that, you know, makes us giggle. You're spiritual. You heard somebody spiritualist come in and give a spiritual talk. There is real pleasure, but we don't have any idea what it is. And we'll never have any idea what it is as long as we're identifying with this body. This body is what we are not. We have never been taught that. We're not the body. The body is a covering. So this is the first lesson that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. You are not the body. You are spirit soul. You're part of the supreme soul. And you are struggling in this world because you've forgotten your spiritual identity. Because you're spirit soul, you're naturally absorbed in real pleasure. But you forgot that. And you're lost in a hallucination. The real pleasure of the spirit soul is in relationship with the supreme soul. That's called Krishna consciousness. But we've forgotten all about Krishna. We've forgotten our spiritual identity. We don't know the relationship anymore. So what does that mean? We do nothing? No. We've forgotten, and we're struggling in this temporary world for pleasure. Disneyland or Hard Rock Cafe, that's just one thing. Or we think, I'll just tramp through nature all my life. Or whatever. All these things are not substantial. We can't even do them all our life. Name one pleasure that you can do all the time, non-stop, without going crazy. And you just go to the Hard Rock Cafe non-stop. Can you fudge Sundays, whatever you're talking about? What did you say? Hot fudge something. Can you just eat them continuously and nothing else without hating them? Huh? Yeah. What about you? Can you just travel and travel and travel? Okay. You just tramp and tramp and tramp. No, no, no. Can you? Like, why aren't you allowed?
Because I've also chosen to have a partner.
Have a partner?
Mm.
Oh, so one pleasure interfering with the other pleasure, huh? What kind of pleasure is this? You can't, you know? First of all, you can't tramp all the time, because your body won't allow it. Secondly, you never even could pretend to do that because your partner won't let you. Now, if tramping is your great pleasure, then why did you take on a partner? Well, why did you take the partner first then? He's not here, is he?
time on.
So why did you take a partner first?
Because
you thought it'd be pleasure, right?
Because it's pleasure.
Right. And then you came with the partner to the Vairapa, and then you found you like tramping better, right? He won't hear. So you found out you like to wire up a bit, right?
Equal.
So in other words, one wasn't enough.
No.
Okay. So once again, we have insubstantial pleasure. She thought the partner would be it. Wasn't enough.
No, I never thought the partner would be it.
But necessary, right?
I thought the partner would be necessary.
Why?
Because I thought that there was big spaces in me that could never be filled by anything else, you know. The body part of me, the mental part of me.
Your coverings.
Sorry? My coverings, yeah.
Your coverings cry out for another covering to interact with.
Absolutely.
Which means that we weren't understanding how to experience our spiritual identity, so we decided that the holes in our life would be filled materially, right? Now you know that's a mistake, right?
I'm waiting.
So this is another thing you should understand about this insubstantial stuff called material pleasure. You can never get one thing that satisfies you. You've got to keep juggling. Tramping, partner, Hard Rock Cafe, Disneyland, this, that. You can't just do one thing all the time without going crazy. Take your most beloved person, your beloved partner. Can you stay around him every moment of every day without going nuts?
No, yeah. I've done that and I've gone crazy.
Right!
Yeah. Keep coming
tramping. Right. So where's the real pleasure?